are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Henry Zomer is going to share with us about his experience of being part of that cloud.
Well, as Ted said earlier, it was an encouragement to be included in so many people. I think he mentioned 70 people in total. And with that comes an accountability, because when you sign up for something like that, or when you agree to something like that, then you are accountable to those who are reading with you. And that made it easier, because there's also a discipline involved. You have to be willing to set aside 20 minutes to half an hour every day to read the Bible and keep up with it. We met periodically as well throughout the year, and that was also a great encouragement for me, because we could share where we were at and where we were in our walk with the Lord, and how we were all doing. And so that was a great encouragement as well. And for me personally, it was important to me to see how this all fit together, the Bible, you know, all the pieces, the big picture of the Bible, how it all fits together. The Bible is made up of many books, many stories by many authors. And I thought, okay, now how does all this fit together? You have books that are easy to read. We like the Psalms, we like the Gospels. They're quite easy to read, and we're familiar with them. But then you get in other books, and I can't say boring, but I'll say tedious. You get the laws and the regulations, Leviticus, for example, or the harder books, which are some of the books like Zechariah, the prophecies in Zechariah, or the visions in Revelation. And you think, okay, how does this all fit together? But then I realize, when you put all these together in the book of the Bible, then you have the redemption of the people of God, the chosen people of God, and that made it more sense to me. And then, you know, you look at and you see, okay, we had the creation, where everything was perfect, the fall of man into sin, where we became sinful, the redemption, where God redeemed his people, and he had to rescue his people over and over again from their sinful ways, and ultimately the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But then we can also see the restoration coming up, that Jesus will return. He will rid the world of evil. There will be a new heaven and a new earth for all of us to enjoy in eternity. And that makes the big picture, to me, complete. So it was a very worthwhile exercise for me. There are still parts of the Bible that I need to get back to, so I'm going to do it again. And if any of you are thinking about it, I encourage you to do it, because it's a very worthwhile cause. It gets you closer to God, and you do read the whole Bible in a year. There are probably passages that I've never ever read in my life that I've now read, and it starts to make a lot of sense. So,
thank you, Henry. The Bible readers were a cloud together, and we as the community were a supportive part of that cloud. But Hebrews chapter 12 has before it Hebrews chapter 11. That was a news flash. And what you read in Hebrews chapter 11 is what that therefore word means. When you see therefore, that means, well, you've got to read what preceded it to understand what this word here means. And the great cloud of witnesses were historical. You know, all these saints and sinners from the Old Testament who, by the grace of God, were able to be faithful, able to be used by him, and those historical people were part of the cloud of witnesses that are part of the people that were receiving the book of Hebrews. We too are part of a cloud, and we are the witnesses for each other, but there's also people of long ago who are also part of the witnesses of what is happening. And I would even dare say that those who are yet to be born are, by the grace of God, part of the witnesses, and we will be the witnesses for them. So let us remember to take note of the witnesses around us, the witnesses God has provided, and be ready to be witnesses ourselves. The next part of our verse says this: let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And Adriana is going to share her thoughts on this for us.
As I was participating in this Bible marathon, I found three things that could be obstacles to completing the journey. One was that some of the passages we read seemed to be, well, less than relevant to our lives today. There are long chapters about the construction of the tabernacle in Exodus, and then about building the temple later on, and about rebuilding the temple. And also there were lists of names and numbers in many parts of the Old Testament that could be difficult to get through. It's hard to read those unfamiliar names of people and places. A second obstacle was that some of the passages were difficult to read because of the violence described. It's hard to understand how people could be so cruel to each other, and yet if we watch the news, nothing has changed, really. If it were another book, though, I'd probably skip those parts. And then there's the time factor. It takes 20 minutes, half an hour, a day to read the three passages. This doesn't seem like very much, but it takes a serious commitment to read each and every day. I usually read with Jack after breakfast every day, and there were times when we would get out of routine and have to find another time in the day to do the reading. If you allow yourself to get even a few days behind, it could be very difficult to catch up again. In spite of the obstacles that presented themselves, I feel that doing the Bible marathon was very worthwhile, and I plan to do it again in 2018. Often when I teach a Bible story to a group of children, there's at least one who says, "I've heard this before, I know what happens." I always say, "That's great, I'm glad you know it. Now listen and see if there's something new that you can find out." This was not my first time reading through the Bible, but I had to follow my own advice over and over again. There was so much that I had not paid attention to before, so much I don't ever remember reading before. The Bible's full of meaning that we can, so full of meaning that we can study it all our lives and never find out all there is to know.
Anna, it's true that God is good, but it is also true that the enemy, the devil, is a deceiver. He is a trap setter. He is a tripper up. And all of us are vulnerable to experiencing the darkness that way. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that He gives us the capacity to see what would derail us, what would trip us up, which would prevent us from understanding the truth, and then take appropriate action. It was great that so many of us who read the Bible were able to avoid those traps and see it through. And certainly it's a good thing if anyone is, as has been said, would like to do this another round of Bible reading marathon. We'll be starting tomorrow. And you can talk to Pastor Ted or I think Ton Lobert. Where did he go? There he is, Ton. Ton's a real leader of this for this coming year, so you can talk to Ton, and I encourage you to be part of the marathon for 2018. The next part of the verse in Hebrews chapter 12 says this: let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so our brother Owen is going to share with us what it means, what he learned about fixing his eyes on Jesus.
Reading the entire Bible in 1 year certainly is a marathon. Um, I've read the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation some time ago, but hadn't done it for a long time, and it's really amazing to think that you can read the scriptures as really a book and sit down and enjoy reading the book. It's amazing, too, how much the Old Testament has the message of God's desire to have his people love and serve him. So many examples of God's disappointment when they strayed from him, discipline when this happened, giving them chances to turn from their sins. Even then, not giving up on his people, but promising a savior. There's so much in the scripture that is relevant to our current society, which has become so secular and materialistic. God yearns for us to focus on him and his word, resisting temptations. Reading the Bible in 1 year is a wonderful experience, including a good commentary helps. It actually becomes exciting. I plan to do it again. I hope you consider it too.
Thank you, Owen. As the scripture said, and as Owen reminded us, it's by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus that the Holy Spirit exerts his power in us. We all have temptations. The devil would love to have us veer off the path and to follow ways that are not God's will for us. See, the Spirit is powerful, but the Spirit directs us to see Jesus. And when we see him, then we are able to stay on the path. When you have a something to look at. You know, some of you know that Joanne and I got a little sailboat this year. It's one of the hooray things of 2017 for us. And our instructor said, if you're out on the water, look at something and keep that as your focal point. And then you're not going to, you know, get lost or end up on the shoals. If you know your track and you have your point, you'll find it. Well, Jesus is that for our lives. If we in our lives trust the Spirit to help us to stay focused on Jesus, then we are going to have lives that end up where we know it should. So let us run with perseverance and fix our eyes on Jesus. The fourth and the last part of our reading is this from Hebrews chapter 12. Consider him, that's Jesus, of course, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Marilyn is going to share with us.
I found this reading in the Old Testament that it's not a lesson in ancient history. It's a revelation of God. It shows us God's faithfulness to his people. It reminds us that he is a saving God, and it demonstrates how he is in command and in control of history. Wading through the long list of names in the Bible is important, for it says via Nicky Gumbel, they counted people because people counted. So that helped me get through a lot of the long list of names and places. Regarding the New Testament, I read it with blessed joy in my heart. The words of Jesus as if I was sitting at his feet, and also a very deep remorse because of my sins that nailed him to the cross. I want to live in the resurrection of Jesus and serve him faithfully through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be doing this marathon again as well, but I just want to leave you with this. Read many good books, but live in the Bible.
Right on. Thank you, Marilyn. The marathon, in one way, say it's done, right? You've come to the last chapter of Revelation. You've read now Psalm 150. You've read Malachi, the last chapter. Isaiah, right? Sorry. Nehemiah? I'm sorry. I got a little behind. all right, true confession. But I'm going to join the marathon because I know that the marathon isn't over. Even if, for all of you that actually completed, you say, well, you finished reading. But no, you haven't finished reading the Bible. You haven't finished walking with the Lord. You haven't finished being his servant. There is more to be done by his Spirit to his glory. So let us run together with joy and energy and much thanksgiving. Our testimony that we are going to conclude with is words taken from the contemporary testimony of the Christian Reformed Church. And I would ask you please all to rise. And let us say this together as a statement of who we are and what we believe. Let us say, on that day, we will see our Savior face to face, sacrificed Lamb and triumphant King, just and gracious. He will set things right, judge evil, and condemn the wicked. We face that day without fear, for the Judge is our Savior, whose shed blood declares us righteous. We live confidently, anticipating his coming, offering him our daily lives, our acts of kindness, our loyalty, and our love, knowing that he will weave even our sins and sorrows into his sovereign purpose. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And let us sing.